Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We're starting a brand new book, 1 John, and I'm looking forward to, there's five chapters in this epistle, and so we're looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to expound the Word, line by line, precept upon precept, book by book, chapter by chapter. And so 1 John is going to be an incredible study, and I can't wait till we get into it. Amen. So let me prepare our screen for us. And I've entitled this evening's message, God is Light. God is Light. And so we're going to go through this introduction. And we're going to look at the purpose, the audience, the date written, the setting, and so on. And so bear with me as we introduce this book. And then we'll get into our study just immediately right after the introduction. Okay? So, here we go. Let's go. The purpose. The purpose was to reassure Christians in their faith and to counter false teachings. Amen. Amen. The author was John the Apostle. John the Apostle. Now, who was the audience? The audience is, this letter is entitled and was intended for any particular church. It was sent as a pastoral letter to various Gentile congregations. It was also written for all believers everywhere. Praise God, praise God. Now, the date that it was written, approximately AD 85 and 90 from Ephesus, right before he was exiled to the island of Patmos. And then the setting. Let's look at the setting. John was an older man and perhaps the only surviving apostle at this time. He had not yet been banished to the island of Patmos, where he would live in exile. As an eyewitness of Christ, he wrote authoritatively to give this new generation of believers assurance and confidence in their faith. Praise God, praise God. And then the key verse. Here's the key verse. Found in 1 John 5:13. When we get there, we're going to understand that this is going to be the key verse of this whole entire epistle. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You see, it's all about Jesus. And as I shared already, and as we read, John was not yet exiled to the island of Patmos. And so we're going to see now the letters that he wrote to all the Gentile congregations around the region. And here's the good news. It got to us 2,000 years later. Amen. And so now we can glean. Now we can look into the law of liberty. Now we can learn how to apply the same concept that was given then, that is given to us today. And we are to learn how to walk in obedience and to embrace the scriptures. You know, there's people that don't even have a Bible. Some people don't even bring Bibles into church. But I'm here to let you know that God's word will not come back void, whether it's preached or read. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So I'm ready to expound verses 1 through 5. And so let's get to the scriptures right now. Let's go. Here we go. And it reads, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of what? Life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Praise God. Verse 3 through 5. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Praise God. And that's where I got the subject and the topic message for this Bible study. Amen. So let's break this down and let's go to verse 1. And the Word of God reads, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Praise God. Praise God. My. What a time, saints. What a time for these apostles to have handled God Himself. They embraced Him. They were taught by Him face to face. Wouldn't you have loved to have been in that era? Well, we weren't. So now we have the letters. We have the book. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the comfort of God, that God will see us through no differently than how He saw them through. Many of them were persecuted to the tilt. Many of them were executed. Some of them were crucified upside down. Some of them beheaded. John was dropped in a big old basin of oil, hot oil. Oh yes, a lot of them gave their life for Christ. Can that be expected of me and you today? Listen, there's drum beats of war coming. Oh, that's right. Just a few days ago, there was 11 warships from China and Russia off the coast of Alaska. And they were practicing war games. For what? Just to sharpen their ammunition? No. They're plotting. And this is why the church needs to get right. This is why we need to get right before the Lord. Why? Because if something of that magnitude were to hit us, the whole country is like sitting ducks. But those who are in Christ, those who are born again, those who love God, those who are His, He will secure, He will protect, He will disperse angels to our rescue. Can I get an amen? You got to believe that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Praise God. And so, saints, this letter is attributed to John, one of Jesus' original 12 disciples, along with Peter and James, and he had a special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. This letter was written about AD 85 and 90 from Ephesus, and it was right before John's exile to the island of Patmos. Praise God. And so I want you to catch that right here in the book of Revelation. It reads right here. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Christ. So just shortly after 1 John was written, he went into exile. And why? Because of persecution. And they persecuted them very severely. I believe the persecution is coming here to this world. And many around the world are already persecuted. We don't hear about the beheadings taking place in Iran or the ones that are being starved out in China. These are believers. And I like to say this, where's their rapture? You see, there's going to be persecution. There's going to be times of peril. There's going to be times of trouble. Jesus said in the last days, we will face tribulations. And right now, our brothers and sisters around the world are facing severe tribulation, no differently than how the apostles experienced and all the believers then. I truly believe it's going to be worse as the days and times approach of the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so going back to this epistle, Jerusalem had been destroyed in AD 70, and Christians had been scattered throughout the empire. And unlike the style of most letters at this time, this letter does not give the name of its writer in the beginning. Both 2nd and 3rd John begin with the elder and follow with the name of the addressee, praise God. And so this letter, however, includes no author's name, except the understanding, saints of God, that this is an elder of the church writing to his dear children. And this unaddressed, unassigned letter was probably more of a written sermon or even a treatise sent to several of the churches in around Ephesus that were under John's care, praise God. And as the oldest living apostle, John was the elder statement of Christianity. He had watched the church and he had to deal with all the conflict from within and persecution from without, praise God. And plentiful, once again, just like we finished 1 Peter, 2 Peter, well, even John wrote about plentiful false teachers were accelerating the downward slide of many away from the Christian faith. They were luring them away, no differently than today. You know, there's false prophets, false teachers, false apostles out there. They got a title that I don't know where they got. But let me just say this. If God's called you to be an evangelist, to be, someone of the fivefold ministry, so be it. It'll be from the Lord and it'll be confirmed. But there's some people, they just title themselves that. And a lot of them have false teaching. Especially those big giant churches that all they talk about is taking your money. Oh, that's right. I've been to them where they shake you down 3 times before you leave. Oh, that's right. Listen, if we do that, don't even come back. Because that's not how Amazing Grace operates. Can I get an amen? Listen, there's nothing wrong with tithes and offerings. That's what God commands. Other than that, it's man putting his hand in it. And so John wrote this letter to put believers back on track. Praise God, praise God. And God, the one who existed from the beginning, came into the world as a human in the person of Jesus Christ. He was 100% man, 100% God at the same time. He was the God-man, praise God. And John and the other apostles had heard and seen and touched him. Praise God. How many of you at home would have loved to hug the Lord Jesus? Well, guess what? When you were born again, the Holy Spirit that came in you was hugging you and having intimacy with you, deep intimacy. The Holy Spirit will touch you like no other person on this earth can touch you. He can fill every void in your life. Praise God. It's the power of God, the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The holiness of God. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Praise God. And so, my friends, when the Son entered into time, his fellowship with the Father also entered into time. And thus, to have heard Jesus was to have heard the Father speaking to the Son, found in the chapters ahead. Like this one right here. Let's look a little further ahead and so that we can just bear witness and reference to. Let's go right here to John 14. When we get there, it'll be an awesome chapter. But let's glean ahead. In John 14, 24, it says, "He who does not love me does not keep my words. But the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." You catch that, saints? The Father who sent. Hallelujah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, saints of God, to have seen Jesus was to have seen the Father, and to have known Jesus was to have known him who was with the Father. Let's go back to the Word of God and identify this, and let's confirm this. In John 14, 8 through 10, look at this. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me?" Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? And look at this in verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Praise God. Praise God. They had an issue. They had an issue with it. Look at this in John 10, 30. I and my Father are what? One. They're one. They're all one altogether. And look at this in John 10, 38. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know that and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. Look at that. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, John called Jesus the Word of Life. In his gospel, John had written, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Jesus already existed. He was with God, and he was God at the same time. And as the Word, the Son of God, fully conveys and communicates God. John's use of the Word is a good title for the Son who created the universe with God and then came to earth to be the perfect expression of God to all humanity. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, Jesus, the Word, reveals God's mind to human beings throughout the world. Not only is Jesus Christ the Word, he is the Word of life, of spiritual life. Praise God. People may be physically alive, but spiritually dead. Jesus, however, as the express image of God himself, gives both spiritual life and eternal life to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's move on to verse 2 of 1 John chapter 1. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. Did you catch that, saints? Did you catch that? It was to bear witness. You see, my friends, divine, eternal life resided in Christ and him alone. So John described Jesus as the one who is life from God and repeated the fact that we have seen him. Just imagine having seen him, that embraced him, that ate with him, that had dialogue with him face to face. Saints of God, he and the other disciples and thousands of other people had indeed seen Jesus. And Jesus was more than just a human being. You see, my friends, John's work during many years since Jesus' ascension had been to testify and announce to everyone that Jesus is the one who is eternal life. Why? Because Christ is eternal life. And those who have trust in him also have eternal life by faith. You know, it's simple. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, God gives you, first of all, a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. And no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. And so when God draws you, he gives you that unction. He gives you that mindset. He gives you that heart now to cry out to him. Where at one time throughout your whole life, before you got saved, you had no dealings with God. You did not have a mind for God. You were never seeking God. And then God quickened you and made you come alive. And when you saw the cross, you ran and embraced it. Praise God. Praise God. And so when a heart repents, then forgiveness of sins is demonstrated by the blood of Jesus. When you cry out to God and ask for forgiveness that you have sinned, that we have sinned, that I have sinned, then the blood is applied and eradicates the original sin from Adam and Eve. And then the greatest, the most miraculous thing happens after that. He then fills you with his Spirit. The life of God comes in and lives in your being. Man, I'm telling you, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. That is eternal life. That is Hallelujah. The assurance. That is the witness. The Holy Spirit living inside. Oh, that's right. That's right. And unbelievers cannot experience that. They have no clue. They cannot testify. They have no unction from the Holy Ghost. They just have a unsaved mind like you and I once had. And now we've been born from above. We've been born a second time. We were born one time first from our earthly mom, our parents. And then the second birth took place and it came from heaven. It came from the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You see, my friends, in the Greek phrase, he was with the Father suggests that the Word was face to face with the Father. This common Greek expression indicated a personal relationship, praise God. And by using this expression, John was saying that the Word, which is the Son, and God the Father, enjoyed an intimate personal relationship from the beginning, from the very beginning. In Jesus' intercessory prayer recorded in John 17, he revealed that the Father had loved him before the foundation of the world. Praise God. Here's the Word of God to back that up. Look at this. In John 17, 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Praise God. There it is. It's all spelled out. You see, saints, the Word, hallelujah, praise God, the words, then he was shown to us, referred to the revelation of the Son of God in human form. Oh, that's right. Look what else it says as we look further in John. Look at this. In John 10:30, I and my Father are what? One. They're one. Praise God. Praise God. And look at this. John 14, 7 through 10. Look at this. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It's all spelled out. Don't you love 1 John? Because John was the one that bore witness in all of his epistles, Revelation, and John of the Gospels. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's always testifying and explaining who the Lord Jesus is. Praise God. Praise God. So, let's move on to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Saints, the plural pronoun we used throughout the whole entire prologue refers at all times to John and the other apostles for whom John was acting as a spokesman, and also, saints of God, to John and any other believers who had seen Jesus Christ in bodily form. Praise God. You see, my friends, these people had actually seen and heard the Lord Jesus Christ, and they told about it so that others may have fellowship with them. Praise God. And it was referring to the life, spiritual and eternal, that all Christians share in a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How many so blessed at home to know that you got a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise God. When you were born again, chosen, hallelujah, hallelujah, and selected by God, handpicked by God before the foundation of the world, He already knew us. Praise God. And now we are sealed until the day of redemption. Now we have a heaven to gain and now a hell to shun. Praise God. We are no longer appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. We will be with him. We will see him face to face. Can I get an amen? There'll be no more tears. No more crying. No more pain. No more suffering. No more in and out of relationships that fall apart. We will have Jesus. And that's all we're going to need is having him. Hallelujah, as our Lord and Savior. Praise God. And then he's going to give us eternal bliss. The heavens that he created up there for you and I. And then the new earth that he's going to renovate for you and I. God is going to do something so beautiful and miraculous for us. We can't even comprehend it right now. Some of us are just worried about our next paycheck. Some of us are worried that our kids are wayward. Oh, come on. Some kids are wayward. Oh, that's right. But I'm here to let you know, God's going to make all things perfect and beautiful in his time. Hold on. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow him. Trust him. Love him. Cherish him. Adore him. Worship him. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, when the disciples were regenerated by the Holy Spirit, they actually entered into fellowship with the Father and with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And having been brought into this living union, the apostles became the new initiators, introducing this fellowship to others and encouraging them to enter into fellowship with them. That's what happened to me when I got saved. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I wanted everyone to experience what I just experienced. Oh, that's right. And look, for me, it's been 34 years, 34 blessed years of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do not regret one moment. I cannot look back and say, man, God failed me. He's never failed me. And he never will. Why? Because he's perfect in all of his ways. Praise God. He's perfect in all that he does. He's perfect. Did you know that you were perfectly, intricately created by him? There's no flaw in you. Yeah, we may see our flaws in the mirror. And yeah, we still have this sinful body that we live in. But you're perfect in his eyes. Praise God. Praise God. And that's all that matters, is how he sees you and I. Hallelujah. He already sees us in our glorified form, our glorified state. He's already justified us. He's already sanctified us. And now he's even glorified us, and we cannot see that just yet. Hallelujah. We're going to be in that brand new body. We're going to be in that glorified body like his. How many can't wait for that? Oh, come on. Woo, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost right now upon me, giving you this word to encourage you, to let you know that if he's for us, who can be against us? Come what may. Let the world come into chaos. Let the world come into tribulation. But God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will deliver us in that final moment. Hallelujah. To snatch us out of here. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, as an eyewitness to Jesus' ministry, John was qualified to teach the truth about him. And the readers of this letter had not seen and heard Jesus themselves, but they could trust. Can you trust? Can you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise God. Look at this. They have heard. The readers of this letter had not seen and heard Jesus themselves, but they could trust that what John wrote was accurate. And believers today are like those second and third generation Christians. Though they have not personally seen and heard or touched Jesus, they have the New Testament record of his eyewitness account. And that they can trust these things. They can trust these eyewitnesses that spoke the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's now move on to verse 4. Look at this. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be what? Full. Praise God. That your joy may be full. Praise God. Praise God. I need to ask this question, saints. Is your joy full? Not joy full. Is your joy full? Meaning, is your cup running over? Do you have God, hallelujah, just in you? and it's pouring out like an overflow cup, full of joy unspeakable and glory. Well, you can just cry out and say, oh God, I haven't felt you in a long time. Oh God, refill me. Listen, God wants to have intimacy with you. Oh, that's right. He wants your cup to be running over. That's right. And so, saints, just as the proclamation of the good news was for others to join the fellowship, praise God, praise God. So John was writing these things to encourage the readers in their participation in both the fellowship and the joy that he and all the other apostles and all other believers, they were experiencing this great joy. Proclamation produces fellowship. Fellowship produces joy. John's joy would be complete if this reader, saints of God, remained in fellowship and did not wander off into false teaching. You see, my friends, John, caretaker of the churches and spiritual father to many of the believers in and around Ephesus, would only be able to experience complete joy if his children were experiencing the blessings of fellowship with one another and with God, praise God. And the book of Galatians, joy is a fruit or a byproduct of the Holy Spirit's work in believers' lives. How many believe that? Praise God. Oh, that's right. That's right. And I got proof right up here. Look at this in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Meaning, it's limitless. You can have as much joy as you want. Just go to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to fill you with spiritual joy. And it's tangible. It's real. It's not a figment of our imagination. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, woo! Man, I'm telling you, your spiritual antennas will, hallelujah, will feel that. Your whole being will feel it. My goodness. Joy unspeakable. Unspeakable and full of glory. You see, my friends, joy also comes as the result of a harmonious relationship among believers as well. And so we see that believers, when they gathered, the fire of God was upon them and they could feel God's presence. Look at this right here. I found in Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found in Philippians. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of what? One mind. Praise God. Praise God. That it's all about having intimacy with God and intimacy with one another, spiritually, loving each other, praying for one another, coming together in one accord. Listen, when you get two or three or four together filled with the Holy Ghost, whoo, it'll feel like Azusa Street, an outpouring. Oh, that's right. Why? Because God wants to be in the midst of us. He inhabits the praises of His people, and we are His people, and He inhabits our praises. He wants to hear us praise Him and adore Him and magnify Him and exalt Him. Hallelujah, and adore Him and worship Him. When's the last time you did all any of the above I just mentioned? Well, listen, it's not too late. Just go to Him and say, Father, forgive me. I haven't had that quality time with You like I should. But here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. That's right. Talk to Him. He wants to hear from you. Do you know that? That's right. Because He loves us with an everlasting love. He died for us. He wants that fellowship with us. He wants the intimacy with us. Praise God. Let's look at our last verse found in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. And it said, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. This is where I got the message. That God is light. God is light. Praise God. Praise God. How many so blessed to know that there's no darkness in Him? You see, my friends, John's message emphasized that God is light. I got some scriptures to back this up. Let's look at this. In John 8, 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Praise God. Praise God. Look at John 9 and 5. As long as I am in the world, I am what? The light of the world. You see, John is the one that talks about the light. And light enables people to do their work, saints of God. It produces growth and crops. It reveals beauty and provides safety. Light represents that what is good, pure, true, holy, and reliable is light. Light reveals. Light shines through the darkness. Praise God. Praise God. Look what King David wrote right here in Psalms 139. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you, God. You see, God has pierced the darkness so that we can see Him. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You see, my friends, God is so completely light that there is no darkness in Him at all. Darkness represents what is sinful and evil. Oh, that's right. King David spelled it out right here. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Did you catch that, saints? Did you catch that? You see, God is untainted by any evil or sin. Praise God. And so thus, God is light. It means that God is perfectly holy and true, and that He alone can guide people out of the darkness of sin. Praise God. Look what was found in 1 Samuel 2:2. Look at this. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Praise God. Praise God. And then once again in Psalms, your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Look what 1 Peter, we just got covering through with 1 Peter. But look, but you are, say this with me at home. I want you to catch this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. That's you and I. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you what? Out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed, saints of God, that God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light? Saints, I'm here to let you know that Jesus is soon and very soon to come. And this is a time, since we've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, this is time now, saints, to get right with Him. To lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, that we would press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Listen, I don't care what we've done yesterday or the day before. Today is a new day. Ask God to forgive you of any iniquity, any sin, anything that we have violated against His law. And I'm going to start it off by asking all of us to pray this prayer real quick. Pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to You my sins. Oh God, help us. Help us, Lord, be overcomers. Help us, oh God, to walk in Your ways. Forgive us for any thoughts, any deeds, anything we have done that violated Your scripture. Lord, help us, Lord, if we lied, if we cheated, if we committed anything that was against Your law. Help us, oh God, wash us, cleanse us, make us anew, oh God. Lord, that we would clear the air, that You would clear the path, that we could continue to walk with You, that we would continue to fellowship with You, that we would continue to love You and praise You and exalt You and magnify You, God. Help us, oh God, because we're fallen beings, oh God. You knew how we were before you saved us. And we are frail at times. We fall short. And this is why we need you, Lord Jesus. We need your help every single moment of the day. Oh God, thank you, Lord, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, God, that you're there to restore us. Thank you, God, that you're always there to help us through tough and very tough situations of life. Praise God, praise God. My friends, maybe you've logged in, I don't know. Maybe you've logged in for the first or second time. And I pray right now for the body. But if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and never confessed to Him and received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, we want to give you that opportunity right now. It's very simple. Ask God to give you a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. Cry out to God and say, oh God, confess that you're a sinner. Confess that you have drawn short of the glory of God. Confess to God, knowing that He does have a place for you in heaven by faith and a hell to shun. No human wants to go to that place of torment in hell. But it is the unbelievers, those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, that end up in that place. But it was never intended for any of us to go to that place. The Bible says that the believers are now not appointed to wrath, but to eternal salvation. And maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's logged in to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior like we have, and watch Him do the miraculous in your life. So bow your heart and your head with me and pray this wonderful prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I have sinned. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory. Someone just got saved. Listen, if you just got saved, down below, look at that, is our banner. Hey, log on to our website, our email, our phone number's there. Reach out to us. We want to give you a brand new Bible so that you can start your journey with Christ. We want to point and direct you to a church that is not afraid to preach truth, that will teach you the unadulterated Word of God. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for giving your heart to Christ. And also down below, my friends, we are here because of you. You continue to support us, and we are mighty, mighty thankful that you have blessed Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship over the years. And hopefully, the years to come, unless Jesus comes before then and takes us all home. But thank you, for donations are truly a blessing, and they are truly accepted. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Listen, I want to say thank you for all of you that have logged in this evening. I hope you're going to have a wonderful next few weeks in the book of 1 John. We will cover line by line, precept upon precept, book by book. And I'm very excited about this Sunday because most of the team will be back. At 1 o'clock, we'll have our healing rooms led by Sister Tammy Hernandez and Angel Hernandez. In 2 weeks, we're going to have our ordination service. We're going to have catered food. Bring your family out. Oh, that's right. Carlos from Tacos and Ceviche is going to cater the food, and we're going to be excited. If you want to bring anything, just bring a dessert. But there's going to be plenty of food for us, and we're excited we're excited for all the people that are going to be ordained, two a pastor and one a deacon. Praise God. Andre Monati is going to be our worship pastor. Art Sesma is going to be my associate pastor. And then there is none other than a blessed man named Angel Hernandez will be our deacon. And so we are so blessed, so excited. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, allow me to send out our benediction so that we can be dismissed. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in this evening. Look forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. once again in beautiful Bonita, California. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.